Access number 29536, Mr. Bird, Scriven, Rule 11. Now, we're on the preparations for the, well, it would be Salerno landings, but...
It would have been,
what
yes.
Happened next?
Well, then I was sent off with this lorry and the driver to an assembly point where I was told that I would be on a LCT, landing craft tank, which is an open vessel, and we would be going ashore with tanks. Eventually, the end of August, we were assembled and loaded into the landing craft.
The LCT.
LCT.
So it was just the trucks that were going on the LCT?
The trucks were going on there. The others were going on the infantry, landing craft infantry, or landing ship infantry. On the landing craft, the first two vehicles facing forward were tanks. Then there was a lorry, then there was a tank, then there was a lorry. The tanks belonged to the, were Sherman tanks, and belonged to the Scots Greys. And we were told that the tanks would tow the lorries ashore. I wasn't quite sure how to take that, and we still didn't know where we were going. But eventually we were assembled into a convoy and we set sail. We sighted what I was told was Sicily. Probably it was, but you spent one's whole time in a state of blissful ignorance about this kind of thing. And about a day after that, we were told that the Italians had surrendered and they'd packed in. They weren't going to fight anymore.
This is September.
Yeah, right at the beginning of September.
And how did you about react the first. To the news of the Italian surrender?
Well,
did you think it was all over?
It was. There were. This was very mixed. Some people said, oh, that's easy, we'll just stroll ashore wherever we're going, which by that time, of course, we were pretty sure it was going to be Italy. And, you know, we'd just stroll ashore. But I was a little bit dubious about that, because I thought that if the Italians gave up, then the Germans would replace them, which would make it tougher rather than easier. Point of fact, that's exactly what happened. But I don't take any credit for having those thoughts. I was just a bit of a pessimist, I suppose. And eventually, in the very early hours, I think it's the 3rd of September, we started going ashore.
Now, that's at Salerno. Now,
that is Salerno.
What was the scene as you hove to off there?
Well, we could see the ground, the land ahead of us, and mixed in our convoy, there were what we called hedgehogs, which were landing craft with rows and rows of rocket-propelled, or rockets, which were going to blast the beaches, we were told, and clear all the barbed wire and defences off. And when I saw what a close up what a convoy was like, and I thought back to what we'd been expecting when I was at St Mary's Bay, I was rather horrified, because at last realism was hitting, and I thought, well, that's that. However, we were attached to tow chains to the tank ahead of us, and when the time came, it was our turn.
Did you see the bombardment? Was it an impressive sight?
Well, most of the time, of course, we were told to sit in our lorries or vehicles, and of course, with the ramp up, you couldn't see a damn thing. It's all anti-climax, as it were.
Could you hear, were the Germans firing back? Or
oh, yeah. It was very, very noisy.
This is on the first, what time was this?
About 3 a.m.
So right at the start?
Right at the very start. Yes, it was right at the start. And it was noisy, but all we were concerned about was, right, go with the tank, who was going to tow us, but we had to have engine going as well, and helping by driving if we could. Tank was only there in case we got bogged down. Eventually we arrived. The
was it wet or dry landing?
Well, the we were reasonably dry. It was a sandy beach, and the tank dragged us ashore without any trouble. But then trouble did hit us, because the tank managed to drag us into their two offside wheels, right-hand side wheels, dragged them into a ditch where the lorry promptly tilted over and stopped. They had a couple of goes at pulling us out again, only made matters worse. So they unhitched and went charging off into the distance. And there we were.
What did you see on the beach? What was going on around you?
I couldn't see the beach from there. We'd gone through a ridge of sand hills. Couldn't see the beach. And I was concerned with what the hell we were going to do with the ammunition and the lorry, because there was only two of us, and we weren't sure whether to unload the lorry or not. But eventually I decided we'd better unload some of it anyway. And being good British soldiers, we also brewed ourselves a cup of tea and sat along the road until the quartermaster turned up in a Bren gun carrier.
Now, did you have a rendezvous, or do you know where you
were? Yes, we were sent to go up the main access road, which we were on, or alongside then, until we came to another road, and I was to turn right and carry on until I met our troops. That's about as detailed as it got, because nobody knew what the hell was going to happen, and let's face it, we were... Well, I was unblooded, and everybody else had only had the infidible experience, which wasn't long, and we were all pretty green, I have to admit.
How were you feeling?
I was more worried about what the hell I was going to do with the lorry and how I was going to get it out of the ditch and get ammunition forward, because as far as I knew, I'd just got the one lorry. That was it. However, the quartermaster turned up in a Bren gun carrier, looking for us, and he said, I've got to get forward, and I said, well, how do we get the lorry out of the ditch? And he said, well, I don't know, what we better do is load up the Bren gun carrier and you just take it forward, we've been told so far, and contact whoever you can, hopefully our battalion. Which is what we did. We put a lot of small arms, 303s mainly, and grenades, into the Bren gun carrier. I dropped ahead, dropped inside, and just told the driver to go on up to where he'd been before, and let's see what we could find. We got to a place where, on the road, on the lateral road that was, where we couldn't go any further forward. So we parked alongside the road and jumped in a convenient ditch and waited for further orders. Meanwhile, the CO had been hit. I think he went off to hospital and the second in command took charge. That was about 100 yards further along the road than I was. Most of us were in ditches waiting to move forward, presumably. Then the padre came along and he asked me if I'd give him a hand. There was a dead man in the field on the other side of the road and we ought to bury him, which was shows how green we were. So right in the middle of the field, we dug a hole, which turned out to be too short, and we couldn't persuade the body in any way, so we had to enlarge it. And then we stood all the way around, and being nice religious people, we hung our tin helmets on the fence at the edge of the road and stood around, and the padre said a few prayers and so on. And I happened to look round at the ring of us round the grave, as it were, and realised that planes were overhead and they were machine gunning as well. And as our nerve gave out, so we duck and then shamefacedly stand up again. And still foolishly, our tin hats were still on the fence. However, we finished the short service, shoveled it in, put the identity discs, our World War I fashion, on the end of a rifle, which we dug the bayonet into the ground and hung a tin hat on it, and scurried back then to the ditch at the side of the road. Then I had a call to go forward with ammunition to the next road going left, in other words inland, and there, as we turned left,
in the Bren carrier,
as we turned left, we saw there'd been a bit of a tank battle going on. There was a brewed up German tank on the side of the road. Its crew was scattered all over the road. Obviously it had been hit, crew had bailed out and then been shot down. But the trouble was the crew was all over the road that we'd got to go along. I had a personal dilemma then. Do we stop the Bren gun carrier, cart the bodies to the side of the road to give us room to go through, or did we just go straight over the lot? If we stopped, we were immediate targets, of course. And if we didn't, we'd leave a nasty bloody mess all over the road, among other things. And it went against the grain. So the driver and I got out, dragged the bodies to one side and took off again. Fortunately, nothing happened. We took ammunition forward until we were met by guards who were waiting for us. We took it forward and I went back again with the Bren gun carrier. Received the information that one of our companies had been enfiladed with a German flame-throwing tank who'd gone along the line of slit trenches that the company had dug in right across the field. I'd flanked them and then gone along with his flamethrower and burned the lot. And I wasn't feeling very happy about the Germans after I heard that. We moved to another position, by which time I'd got a lorry from somewhere and loaded some ammunition onto it. I went further forward and came to another position where we dug in and so on. A German tank had obviously been there before me and had blasted the occupants of a slit trench. There were two, three, maybe four men in that slit trench, but they're all in one corner and had been blasted, so that I never did know how many there were. But they had been trying to use a Piat gun, which was a spring operated bomb throwing piece of equipment, about as useless as they come. But that was our main defence, apart from 6-pounders, which were off in the anti-tank platoon somewhere. Things got rather confused from there on. I moved here and there as I was told or requested. Oh, yeah.
How did you react to all? I mean, we know.
You duck. You duck and hope for the best, and that's about it.
Were you nervous?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, scared to death. But who wasn't? About the best thing you could do if there was nothing else was to get into a ditch and make yourself a cup of tea, which was horrible stuff, because it was a pack that was supplied, a tin, with a mixture of dried milk, tea and sugar. And you brewed up in your mug as best you could. Hopefully you got a meter fuel tablet, which wasn't quite enough to boil a pint of water. So your tea was always weak and horrible, and full of tea leaves. Terrible invention, that was. But everything was pretty confused for the next day or so. And then the quartermaster had established a headquarters. And by that time I had acquired, and I don't really remember how I acquired it, a motorbike again. So I went on, found where battalion headquarters was, to see if anybody was wanting ammunition, what I got to take. And it's easier to get around on a motorbike than to try taking a 3-ton lorry. I found battalion headquarters in a small Italian farm, a tobacco plantation mainly. The inhabitants of the farm apparently lived on the first floor on the building, and the animals lived underneath them. It was pretty ripe, I must admit. And we'd taken over the building, well, the Italians had disappeared. And there was a well. It had to be reached from the road by a long dirt track with tobacco plantations on each side. Trouble was, it was the main access, and any movement along there threw up a cloud of dust, which was immediately the target for either long-range or fairly long-range artillery, mortars or snipers, whichever. Being on a motorbike, I had to decide whether to go slowly and try not to raise dust and get conspicuous, or open it wide and get there as fast as I could undercover. I tried both approaches. Didn't seem to be much advantage in either of them. Except, of course, on the slower one, it took you a lot longer to get there. And I stayed there overnight. Next morning, I was outside the building with a small farmyard, well about 25 yards away, with a concrete surround to the well. And I just got on my bike, which I hadn't started. And remember, it was all kick-start in those days. And I was a struggle about just going to start it, when a German mortar bomb came down from over the house somewhere and landed on the concrete by the well. And I was stuck astride a motorbike that wasn't moving, and I couldn't exactly drop it. I couldn't do anything. I just had to sort of sit there thinking to myself, my God, I'm going to be shredded in a moment. Strangely enough, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I didn't feel the blast. I didn't see any shrapnel around. I didn't see anything. And immediately afterwards, I started the bike and head off down the track, going back to base again to see if there's anything had happened down there. When I got there, I found that they had taken over a farm. It was one of the government's model farms, I gathered. And the first thing I saw was a bloke with a steaming mess tin walk across the farmyard to where there was a cow, which he promptly put some milk into the mess tin. So I gathered he'd got a mess tin of tea and wanted milk in it.
Now, this is the B-Echelon headquarters.
B-Echelon.
So they were also in a farm?
Yeah. They were in a farm, yeah. Well, it was all farm country. We were in to the seaward side of Battipaglia, which was south of Salerno.
Do you know how you spell that?
Yes, B-A-T-T-I-P-A-G-L-I-A, Battipaglia.
B-Echelon
was where there were stores, rations, ammunition, and so on. It was sort of a separate headquarters behind battalion headquarters.
Who were in this farm?
There were two farms. Yeah, the tobacco farm was where battalion headquarters were. B-Echelon were back further. To my amazement, bearing in fact that we were all originally and still had been London people, some of whom had never seen farm animals, they were looking after the animals, feeding them, milking the cows. The milk was put in churns and stood in a stream which went round the farmyard to keep it cool. And they were doing very nicely, thank you. Having the battalion's rations there, of course, they weren't starving. And there I found the other two lorries. I asked if there'd been any requests and so on, or orders, indents, whatever, to supply ammunition. Nobody seemed to know anything about that. So I took off again, went back to battalion headquarters. I think it was a bit later in that same day that we were then told we were moving forward. But because of the geography, we had to go back down the dirt track to the road, turn right, go along there for about half a mile to crossroads, turn right again to get forward.
This is moving forward to where?
Don't know. Just moving forward.
You know what date this would be? You'd landed on the... I've forgotten the date.
We landed on the 3rd, I think it was.
Of course, yes.
I have a feeling that the third was a Tuesday, but I don't know why.
So they'd set up the B echelon on the 4th?
Yeah. And, well, I presume so, because I wasn't there, but it would be that way. So this was somewhere around the 5th or 6th, something like that. Days just blended into each other, and I don't know, you'd lose count of time entirely.
So what happened when you moved forward then?
Well, we were all lined up, and I was asked if I'd give a hand to the orderly room clerk to carry the battalion's documents in a tin trunk. So I said, yeah, all right. Somebody else, I presume, was going to ride the motorbike. No recollection of that at all. Anyway, we were all lined up facing to the rear, obviously, to get back to the main roads and so on, when suddenly we were told that the Germans had counterattacked. Well, we were facing the wrong way. So what we did was took to our heels, the lot of us. Not very brave, I suppose, but very sensible. And we took off. Now, instead of staying to the track, the other bloke and myself took to the fields alongside the track.
In your vehicles? Or?
No, on foot. We were marching. I later traced where we went. We went across a field, over a barbed wire fence, over a wooden fence, which was about 4 foot something high, across a canal, for a piece of scrubland and a ditch, and arrived on the road. All of that time, both of us still hanging on to this damn box between us. Exactly how we did it, because I wouldn't jump any of those fences. Normally, I don't think I was able to. But we seemed to have managed it ourselves, and we got back onto that road.
Why didn't we just dump the box there? Because it's only
battalion headquarters. It was all the information about the battalion. They were the battalion's documents, and they couldn't go into enemy hands no matter what. Well, that's what we thought. And we turned right along the road, got to a crossroads where the 9th battalion had left a number of their lorries. I found a bloke that I knew, and between us, the orderly room bloke and myself, gave him just a private, fusilier, sorry, gave him the box of documents and told him to go straight on back to B echelon and hand the documents over to the quartermaster personally. No matter what else happened, that was what his job was, and he carried it. And he took off along the road. Meanwhile, I thought, well, we're going to need ammunition, but where the hell are the lorries? Right back in B echelon. So I scouted round. There was another farm on the crossroads, or just behind them. And there I found the 9th Battalion's ammunition lorries. So I thought, well, there's only one thing. We've got to get ammunition, but I don't know what. So I had a look at the ammunition lorries and yelled for the drivers and said, what you got on board? And they hadn't any idea much. So I said, well, let's have a look. And I found boxes of 36 grenades. And I said, I'd like to take these. Oh, they belong to our battalion. I said, well, we need them now, and we're here. I'll square it with your RSM later on. And commandeered about a dozen boxes of 36 grenades. Meanwhile...
You didn't take the lorry?
Not the lorry, no. Didn't belong to me, but I did take the ammunition. And the most useful thing I could think of was 36 grenades would be handy, because inevitably somebody was going to throw away their arms.